Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, good Sunday morning, and happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day to my wonderful father, George Donald, down in Florida, listening right now, probably. Dad, you've done a good job, I hope. Some people might disagree with that, but I don't. In the studio this morning with me, Joe Vollmer, CEO, President of Powertrain Solutions. Good morning, Joe. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, Gary, and also a shout-out to my father down in Raleigh, North Carolina, who also fielded a great job.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful to have a good dad?
Absolutely. To have the good fortune of growing up in a two-parent household is not something everyone has that advantage these days.
Right, exactly. So to good parents everywhere, happy Father's Day to the moms, too. Our sponsor this half hour is Max Marina, 9876 Main Street in Whitmore Lake. Max Marina is the only full-service marina on Whitmore Lake. You can go to maxmarina.com. That's MacsMarina.com. You can call them at 734-449-4706. Max Marina's got a great selection of boats. They're selling boats now. They do great repair work. And they actually sell beer and wine on the lake. So you can pull into the docks, get a burger at D's, some ice cream, and take a six-pack with you back out on the lake. And you can actually rent boats at Max Marina and get out and try the boating lifestyle. So give them a call at 734-449-4706. So, Joe, we've had a pretty interesting week. And you, too, can call in to us, 734-822-1600, or email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, with your comments. But it was like a week of dictators this week. You kind of looked at me quizzically when I said that earlier. You weren't paying attention to the bridge people this week?
I was out of town, actually, this whole week, so I'm a little behind on my stories.
Well, you missed it. I mean, you probably didn't miss the national one, but we'll start local here. Governor Snyder, who's been threatening to do this bridge, has reached an agreement with the Canadian government to put a second spanned bridge in. And, you know, it's kind of amazing that he can bypass the legislature. And I don't know why the state Senate and the state House wouldn't be up in arms right this. I mean, you haven't heard. You would think there'd be a few of them out there just saying, wait a minute, this is not going to happen. And yet it's not. Of course, they're saying it's going to create a $70 billion a year trade relationship between Michigan and Canada. The Maroon people, of course, at the existing bridge are totally against it and have been spending money against this. But they're saying the cost to build Michigan's half of the bridge would be repaid through tolls collected on the Canadian side of the bridge. So Canada is funding our half. Now, right there should tell you, nothing's for free. You know, if we're not willing to spend our half, why is that? Why wouldn't we want to spend? If it were that good an idea, why wouldn't you want to spend it? Why wouldn't he come to the voters and say, these are the reasons why we need to share the cost of a bridge with Canada? To me, there is no free lunch. I'm not buying that.
Well, I haven't done all my homework on this, obviously, Gary, but it seems that a bridge goes two directions. It seems you could collect on either end, and both sides pay half. So apparently I'm missing out on something here because that seems far too logical.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And for Rick Snyder, there's something else going on here. Now, just about every radio host on this station, I think, is against this. And you've heard people talk that saying that this is something Rick Snyder wants to do. Well, I want to play a little track. Now, this is from the announcement that happened on Friday, I think it was. And this is Transportation Secretary, Obama's Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood. And he's talking about Rick Snyder. Let's play that track, Derek.
But it did not take him long to realize that building this bridge and reaching this agreement and working hard to get to this agreement would mean so much to the Michigan economy, to this region, to our friendship with Canada, which is extraordinary. Governor Snyder came to see me almost a few days after he was after he was elected governor. He came to my office in Washington, and I could tell then, this is a man of vision. This is a man that wants to get things done. And in our country, because of President Obama's vision for passenger rail, we have implemented a passenger rail program, and there had been some criticism from some people in my party. I'm a Republican, but some criticism of our passenger rail. Governor Snyder said, we need passenger rail in Michigan. A Republican governor who accepted money to connect Detroit to Chicago. A visionary, not hung up by anything else. The other thing we talked about that day was this bridge. How do we get it done? And the governor had a vision for how to get it done. And that's what this day is about. It's a celebration. A celebration of the beginning of the building of this bridge and the continuation of our friendship with our wonderful friends from Canada, but also a celebration of a man who really does have a vision, and it didn't take him long to accomplish it.
Okay, so did you see how he wrapped it up? A celebration of a man. So what is this, the Snyder Bridge? Is that we do we expect to see the Snyder Bridge?
I can say I've never heard a secretary praise a governor in such a way before.
I didn't like the whole reference of accepting money, you know, taking money from the federal government for passenger rail. Boy, that works out well in this country, doesn't it? Passenger rail. So if you can equate failed passenger rail subsidized nonsense with a failed subsidized, this time by Canada, bridge, what is this going to do? I mean, that and the fact that it's built not on bedrock but on salt marsh and salt mines. You know what I mean?
I guess I'm a bit mystified. I sit sometimes I eat in Ann Arbor at the Gandhi Dancer where the Amtrak pulls up that goes between Detroit and Chicago, makes a intermediary stop there in Ann Arbor, and I never see anyone on it.
It's exactly. There is never anybody on it. That's why they have to subsidize it. So you buy your $40 ticket, but it costs $200 for somebody to get from here to Chicago.
Yeah, it's a different story on the East Coast where, you know, people are going between Philly and Baltimore and Washington, D.C. and New York City and such, and you just have such a dense population.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's density of population. You cannot have a rail service running from Detroit to Chicago because there's not enough density. That's why anybody who's talking about mass transit in this area, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and when you get to either end, you're going to end up renting a car anyhow.
Yes.
You know, and that's the other difference is when you get to – in the East Coast, when you get from the other one city to the other, there's going to be another subway system yet or an extensive taxi or bus service to service you. When you get to Detroit, what are you going to do?
Right. Well, at least there was one Republican in state Senate who stood up against it. Arlen Meekoff of Olive Township has long opposed the second span and he says he agrees with Snyder on most issues, but he's disappointed by his decision to bypass the legislature and attempt to authorize a bridge without legislative approval. And the key there for me is, what is it with this executive nonsense? You know, he goes on to say our system of government is set up so that both the legislative and executive branches must agree in order to proceed. One branch should not be able to proceed unilaterally just because the other branch disagrees. And that's the theme for today. Why can you bypass our form of government to do whatever you choose, Mr. Snyder? Rhino Rick, you make me sick. You know, I'm totally disappointed that he would go out and try to do this. And don't give me the nonsense that, oh, the Canadians are paying for it. No, there's something else in there. If they're paying for it, it's their bridge. You know, if they're buying the property here, and that's what it's saying in this article, and you can see this at the Free Pass it and the Holland Sentinel's got it. But, you know, there's something going on here, and our state representatives and our state senators need to stand up to it. Joe Hewn, if you're out there, get off your duff and make a ruckus about this, because this is utter nonsense. Mark Ouimette, state rep, get out there and say something about it. This is nonsense, and I hope you don't agree with it. So, anyways, we'll leave that one at that. I'm kind of look at Derek's looking at me, dude, I'm mad, aren't I, this morning? Well, I think I have a right to be.
Absolutely. There's a reason the veins are sticking out in your neck right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're jabbing another needle into another access point into our country. I don't know who's going to come across that bridge in future years. And if we don't own the bridge, how much control do we really have over it?
And I'm sure you'll be waiting for the check to come from the revenue, right?
Absolutely. You know, the Canadians take it all, so it's not going to do anything for us. Just like, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll move on to some more information here that I think you need to know about. Some more government injustice. So we'll see you on the other side.
Whether you're planning to build your dream house or looking for the perfect investment in your future, land prices are at their lowest and the time to invest is now. Come and see this unique 22-acre lot with a gorgeous private lake conveniently located 15 minutes from downtown Ann Arbor and Brighton with easy access to US 23. Beautiful wooded walkout building sites are perfect for the most private and luxurious of homes and can be split in any number of ways. This property is zoned for quarter-acre lots or larger, and sewers and electricity are available at the paved road frontage. This is an excellent investment with a low asking price of under $200,000. To own this unique investment property, call 734-679-1512 for an appointment to view. That's 734-679-1512.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, brought to you by the Vincent Law Firm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you, forefathers, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that Bill of Rights and that document 24/7. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970 or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
In their own words, they want this big, elaborate healthcare system. But in order for them to have it, in order for it to exist in their minds anyway, they need to control how you eat, what you eat, and stuff like that. So, cue in Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. Cue in this push to say, you know what, you, the listener right now. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You can't eat that.
Don't miss the Clark Cast live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, I'm Jeff Gordon. As a four-time NASCAR champion, nothing is more important to me than winning a race, especially the race to cure children's cancer. Each day, more than 40,000 children are undergoing cancer treatment at hospitals throughout the United States. CureSearch for Children's Cancer supports the research and treatment for 90% of those children. Only research cures children's cancer. Join the Jeff Gordon Children's Foundation in supporting this winning team. Get involved at CureSearch.org.
Ed Sayron inviting you to hang with me on the Bone Conduction Music Show. Not only do we have the wig-singing rock, the hip-shaking soul music, and the industrial strength rhythm and blues, but we have over $7 billion in cash prizes. Coming your way right here, it's the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Sayron for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back, and thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. Gary at thedailydrift.com. You can send me your emails and comments, and I can read them on air if you're too shy to call in. But you can see The Drift. Click on currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com, and click on The Daily Drift. And you'll see these stories that I get links to every day, kind of help you filter through the mass of information that we all can go through on the internet but may not have time for. So currentonline.com, click on The Daily Drift, check it out. So we were talking about the bridge before we left. And I just wanted to reiterate the fact that, you know, I think there is more in play here. And I don't think it was a slip of the tongue when Ray LaHood said he came to see me as soon as he was nominated. I mean, elected. I think this was something he had from the get-go. And if you watch that full speech, and you can go online, I think there's a link to the article and then a link to the video of this. It's a long video. It's a bunch of bureaucrats espousing the virtues of each other and the bridge. A lot of backslapping. But there's stuff in there that makes you think, this is all special interest. We're trying to get the bridge construction people back to work. Well, how many bridges do we build in this country a year like this? I can't remember the last time a giant bridge was built. So what super special interest are we catering to build a brand new bridge? But it stinks, frankly. There's a smell here that I can't get out of my nose from this whole bridge issue with Snyder. And I don't know. It's something people need to be aware of. You know, don't listen to the commercials and take my word for it, but do your own homework. Get out there. There's plenty of information online, but I am not buying the concept of this second bridge, especially in the location it's in. So there's a lot of information, and I think Jay McNally covers this better than anybody. So listen to Jay on Saturdays at noon, and he can get you a lot of good information, or go to his website. So there was another item on Michigan Capital Confidential, and we do links to them all the time. If you're not reading Michigan Capital Confidential, you need to be. Michael Lefebvre did an article, and he's hit this several times over the last year, talking about how the state of Michigan needs to revamp its alcohol sales law. Most people probably don't realize that we go to the store and we buy beer and wine, but there's a wholesale distribution system set up here in the state of Michigan, and they kind of divide it out. It's all special interest. If you are a distributor, you have a certain territory, and people can't come into your territory. So it doesn't really make for good competition. And the people that have these distributorships, well, it's basically a monopoly. And frankly, I'm a free market capitalist. I don't believe in monopolies at all. I despise the fact that my cable company has me by the tail. You know, so it's no different, you know, if you think about it, your beer and wine that you buy at your store only comes from one distributor. Now, certain brands are given to certain distributors, but really there isn't any competition.
Oh, I'm aware that for years that if you are fortunate enough to be awarded, or I don't know the word, but given an Anheuser-Busch distributorship, you are the king.
You are the king.
You are the king of beers.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And it's the way beer and wine wholesalers have enjoyed what economists call monopoly profits from a state law that actually mandates that most beer and winemakers grant wholesaler exclusive sales territories or monopoly areas on their products. Now, that's not free market, as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, it makes you wonder why my beer is so expensive. Am I going to put gas in my car this week, or am I going to have a beer? I guess I got to put the gas.
Well, I've run into it before. I used to host a party every fall at my house, and there was some particular beer, brands of beer that I was pursuing for, it was a German-themed party. I think you might have been there, Gary.
I was.
And, you know, there were certain German beers I was going after, and the local shops that I purchased my alcohol at all said, no, my distributor does not and will not carry that beer. That would not be occurring if you had a true open market.
That is correct. Now, this article goes on and says a decade ago, and I didn't know this, never heard about it, Northwest Airlines was busted for shipping beer served on its airplanes in from Minnesota rather than buying it from the wholesaler whose monopoly turf apparently includes the Detroit Metro Airport. Reports indicated that even with the added transportation costs, bypassing the monopolist saved that airline $3 million a year. Now, how much did our tickets go up because they had to spend an extra $3 million to some monopolist beer distributor here in Michigan?
It's just, you know, that's not surprising. And I'm sure that if it goes probably beyond the alcohol, there's probably, if you added up all the individual cases like that where they are forced to purchase in one area or another rather than the, you know, the most economic purchase, it probably adds up to how much, $20, $30 a ticket, perhaps.
Right. Well, this is one of these stories. I'm going to get hold of CapCon and get Mike Lefebvre on in the coming weeks here. And let's let people know next week, you're actually going to fill in for me on this time slot here at the station. And are you excited?
I'm really looking forward to it, Gary. I mean, we'll miss you, but hopefully you'll be calling in at some point during the show.
I'll be listening, because as people should know, you can listen to all of the Wham! Radio shows live on the web, and it's clear as a bell, crystal clear, at www.whamradio.com. It's a great way to listen to AM radio.
Frankly. And I'll tell you this, we have a great guest next week, Mr. Miguel Romeo from Resonance Mode out in Colorado will be calling in, and we're going to have a very good discussion on biofuels, including ethanol, that I think many of the listeners will learn a lot from in a very short amount of time, some of the pros and cons of ethanol, some things you've never heard about in the mainstream press.
Yeah, well, I'll be chiding in on that one, Doug, because you know my stand on ethanol.
That's great. I think a good balanced discussion would be in order.
Good. Well, we'll work at that. Well, the other big news this week was another bit of dictatorship from an executive from our top executive in this country, President Obama. And he decided to let young illegals stay. This is kind of like a portion of the American Dream Act. And let's go with that next track, Derek.
Patriotic young people. It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking. Precisely because this is temporary, Congress needs to act, because we are a better nation than one that expels innocent young kids. And the answer to your question, sir, and the next time I'd prefer you let me finish my statements before you ask that question, is this is the right thing to do for the American people. Babika, I didn't ask for an argument. I'm answering your question. It is the right thing to do for the American people, and here's why. Here's the reason. Because these young people are going to make extraordinary contributions and are already making contributions to our society.
Okay, what about the young people that are here already legally here, born here or came in through the process and are here legally? What about their hopes, dreams, and aspirations? How fair is that?
Oh, you have illegals taking spots at universities right now instead of our own kids.
Yep.
And I assure you, our own kids would also contribute to the American society. We don't necessarily need them to be displaced by illegals.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the big news out of this week was him chiding that reporter for asking the question. Now, you can argue whether the reporter asked it at the appropriate time. But you know what? I'll bet deep in his own heart, he knows he's doing the wrong thing. He's doing it to buy the vote of immigrants. He's hoping to pick up Hispanic votes by saying, listen, I'm going to do an executive order to allow these young kids not to be deported. And, you know, it's just one more way that this guy doesn't care about anything except getting reelected. And frankly, you people need to realize this man cannot be reelected, because this is just the start. He is going to go crazy once he has nothing left to lose and no reelection to worry about for the next 4 years. I mean, it's insane that he can make this executive order and bypass Congress, just like Mr. Snyder did with the bridge. Now, let's go with the next track, Derek, because this is the real question. And listen to one of the other reporters as Obama storms out after chiding this reporter.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Specifically ruled this out, sir, last year.
What about American workers who are unemployed while you import foreigners?
Yeah, he turns his back on the next question. What about the American workers who are now going to face even stiffer competition from illegals who don't have to leave? If I don't have to leave, you're not going to deport me, so I'm going to go ahead and apply for that job. I may be illegal, but you know what? They're not deporting me, so I'm good to go. I'm going to keep working.
And they're also willing to force down the market price for labor.
That's exactly what has happened. You know what I mean? The unions, well, we'll talk about it when we get back. We're going to take this break, and we'll see you on the other side.
always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Liz White. Choosing between Hosni Mubarak's ex-prime minister and a conservative Islamist, Egyptians are voting for president. Wafiq Mustafa, chairman of the Conservative Arab Network, says economic concerns may pull the vote away from Islamic fundamentalism.
You've got 10 million Christians. You've got people who now want Sharia law, want to ban alcohol. The economy will likely to be damaged. And so the country internally and the foreign politics of Egypt as well.
High financial stakes in the Greek parliament elections.
Today's unofficial figures show the radical left Syriza party nudging ahead. They want to scrap the much-hated debt deal, which could lead to default. An exit from the euro.
Fox News Radio's Courtney Walsh. Hot, windy weather may fuel the fire that's already burned 85 square miles west of Fort Collins, Colorado. 181 homes destroyed. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
It's time for another exciting night of great American jazz on Tuesday, June 26th at the Plymouth Elks Lodge number 1780. The performance goes from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. The $10 donation includes tasty hors d'oeuvres. The Plymouth Elks Lodge number 1780 is located at 41700 Ann Arbor Road in Plymouth. For more information, call 734-453-1780 or visit Plymouth Elks 1780.com. The Ann Arbor District Library hosts the 2012 Kids Read Comics Celebration, July 6th, 7th, and 8th. This is the fourth annual Kids Read Comics Celebration, an event that promotes comics as a part of lifelong reading and as a means of creative expression for kids and teens. For more information on this event, call the library at 734-327-8301 or visit aadl.org. Calling all dreamers, join the Dexter District Library for this year's summer reading program beginning Friday, June 15th at 11 a.m. Readers from preschool through sixth grade will celebrate the library's theme, Dream Big, Read. Teens will own the night and adults can read between the covers. Read for fun all summer long and enjoy night-related performances, events, music, contests, prizes, and more. The summer reading program runs until August 3rd. Stop in at the Dexter District Library to pick up a flyer of all the summer events. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108, Wham Talk 1600.
I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enna Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning, Father's Day. We were talking about executive order passed by Obama that they're not going to deport young illegals and thereby not going to deport their families as well. So he's just basically said, if you're illegal, you're living here, it's cool. Don't worry about it. You can stay. And it's funny that it comes at this time. It's election time. Yes, he's buying votes. But what also he's doing is ensuring that there are going to be more votes because he's got Attorney General Eric Holder suing Florida to keep Florida from purging the voter rolls. So it all comes together here. This is one giant process to ensure his reelection. I'm going to keep the illegals here. I'm going to keep them voting Democratic. I'm going to keep them voting for myself, Mr. Obama, and bypass Congress in doing so. So again, it's that, you know, when people say that's like a dictator, well, that is the kind of move a dictator makes. It's going to take the next president, a different president, mind you, to reverse this. And once again, the president of the United States is the chief of the executive branch. The executive branch's job is to enforce the laws of the nation. And yet he's completely refusing to enforce the law of immigration. You know what I mean?
Well, it's clear that it appears that they want voter fraud.
Yes.
And voter fraud, apparently the Obama administration feels that voter fraud is to their advantage. The more people who are voting for them that have no right to vote is to their advantage. And that's crazy. What is wrong with having only U.S. citizens who can show an ID be the ones who vote?
Because those people will not vote for them. You know what I mean? Those people have common sense and they think. So Mr. Obama went ahead and did this executive order, but a short time ago when he was candidate Obama, he didn't think this way. Let's go with that next track, Derek. I think we're on track 4. I forgot to number them for you today.
With respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case, because there are laws on the books that Congress has passed. And I know that everybody here at Bell is studying hard, so you know that we've got three branches of government. Congress passes the law. The executive branch's job is to enforce and implement those laws. And then the judiciary has to interpret the laws. There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system, that for me to simply, through executive order, ignore those congressional mandates would not conform with my appropriate role as president.
All right, so right from the words of his own mouth, it doesn't work. And this was a few short years ago as then-candidate at a forum speaking to college students. Reinforces the three branches of government and that it is his job, if he were president, to enforce the laws, not make the laws. And he said, I don't have the authority, I wouldn't have the authority to do that. Yet he went right ahead and people should be outraged. I am outraged. When I heard this track, I was outraged.
So he says, you can't do this via executive order as a candidate, and then as president, he issues an executive order.
And halts the deportation. Flip-flop, liar, whatever you want to say, this man just did what he said he could not do. This is the most heinous act yet from this president.
Well, he's making Stockdale look like he was not a flip-flopper the way Obama's acting now.
Whatever works for Obama, whatever it takes, anything to get reelected. And people should be outraged. I'd like to hear from you, 734-822-1600. Call me and let me know how outraged you are about this, because I can't even speak. You say my veins in my neck are sticking out. That's the way I feel right now. This is absolutely outrageous. And for the legislature, the House of Rep, the Republicans are speaking up. But even the Democrats in the Senate should be speaking up and saying, wait a minute, you are violating the law. That is our job to decide what's going to happen with deportation. The law is already there. Enforce it. But he's picking and choosing once again, just like Eric Holder picks and chooses. It's selective enforcement. And this man should be charged with treason, as far as I'm concerned. And I hope somebody stands up for an impeachment or somebody stands up for the Constitution, because, frankly, that's what he's doing. He's violating the Constitution. This is not some little project back deal, Sandinista, Iran-Contra, something or other. This is the United States immigration being violated. And the President of the United States is completely okay with it. I don't have to follow the rules.
I wish we had the advantage of playing that bit back for Obama. I wish he was here in the studio and we could play it back for him and ask him directly, how do you feel you can get away with flip-flopping that badly?
Yeah. How can you justify changing your mind and attitude? You know, I had a teacher in high school, Mr. Menard. We studied world politics. And he had a favorite saying, and I don't remember where he got it from. I think it was a quote from somebody else. He said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when executives do this, they should be, people need to look at it for what it is. We've got Ken calling in from Livonia. Good morning, Ken. Happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Yeah, I just wanted to comment that the word that comes to mind when I think of President Obama, considering that he swore an oath to follow the Constitution and defend the Constitution, dictator, that's what he thinks he is. He sees himself as the dictator or the Caesar of America. And another word that I'd like to throw up there is traitor. I mean, to me, anybody that doesn't want to follow the Constitution but undermine the Constitution, in my book, is a traitor to the country.
Absolutely. You're right on track with me today, Ken. That's exactly right. Treason. That's the way I look at it. And dictator, did you hear the way he chided that report? How dare you interrupt the king when I give... Don't interrupt the king when you give a speech.
That's it.
How dare people question his authority? Ken, thanks for your call. You hit it right on the head. We'll hopefully call in next week, Ken, because I love getting those calls from you.
All right, take care.
Take care. Yeah, Ken hit it right on the head. I mean, dictator. I think I've actually got that headline on the Daily Drift, actually. Go to Current Online, CourantOnline.com, and click on the Daily Drift when you get there, and you'll see all these links to the stories that I bring up every day. Which brings me back, I need to do our sponsor this half hour, is the Current Newspaper, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, Current Newspaper, CurrentOnline.com. Now delivering to 30,000 homes and businesses and dropping off another 5. So our circulation has increased from 5,000 to 35,000 in the last 5 years. So grow your business with the Current Newspaper. We serve now Oakland County, Livingston County, and Washtenaw County. And it's free if you're in the correct mailing area. It's always free online, currentonline.com. And for a monthly newspaper, this is the way to get your print advertising budget maximized. Call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777, or go to currentonline.com, and the information is there. But grow your business with us the way we've grown and get your information out there. So branding your business is what you need to do in this kind of an economy. If you're not out there getting your name out there, people are not going to find you. They're going to go to somebody else. So please advertise, and advertise on this radio station. If you want to advertise on this show, email me, Gary, at The Daily Drift, and we'll get you hooked up. So that's our sponsor for the half hour. We're going to move in a little different direction. We're going to take an early break, I think, and cover some other stuff. But I hope people are out there doing your homework. Go to Current Online, click on the Daily Drift, and watch these videos. I've got them there for you. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
With columns by Wham! Radio hosts like Theron X, Dave Janda, and Matt Clark, as well as the Capital Confidential and Herman Cain, you know that the Current Newspaper understands what's right. This free newspaper has been serving Livingston and Washtenaw counties since 2003 with area news, editorials, an event calendar, and more. Published monthly by Whitmore Lake Media, LLC, the Current Newspaper includes a variety of interesting articles from Deb's Movie Corner and Ask the Contractor to the Legal Spot, Garden Spot, and a fishing column. Whitmore Lake has some great fishing. You might even see a picture of your neighbor reading The Current in an exotic faraway land. Visit www.currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. Subscribe for home delivery, details on the website, or pick one up free today. The Current Newspaper, a community newspaper for those with common sense.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by Flying Dutchman Management. Now here's Theron.
We're going to elect Mitt Romney in spite of himself. We're going to put him into the White House even though he's not even close to the conservative needed to fix all that is wrong with America on so many levels. Never forget that all that plagues America has its roots in the Democrat Party, all of it. Can you say Detroit? Job one is to get the Democrats out of the White House. That's the way Romney looks at Obama, a big government Democrat. We the thinking know that Barack Hussein Obama is a Marxist, our first actual communist president. But Romney doesn't want to be seen as contentious. Doesn't, as he says, want to set his hair on fire. That's okay. We're going to elect him in spite of himself. In spite of the fact that he's a reach across the aisle, bipartisan, part of the problem, less than truly conservative Republican, we elect him anyway. He'll be a placeholder for now because we conservatives know that a weak Republican is far better than a communist. Yep, we're going to elect Mitt Romney. We have no choice. We'll do it in spite of himself. Electing Mitt Romney isn't the end. It's only the beginning. Then it's on to the next real battle at hand, finding real conservatives to primary out Republican old-school party machine hacks on all levels.
Ann Arbor's Hogback Office Center off of U.S. 23 and Washtenaw Avenue offers a beautiful, rolling, five-acre country atmosphere. Your clients will be more than impressed. The professional office suites at the Hogback Office Center range from 960 to 5,000 square feet. They're very competitively priced, and your clients will appreciate free parking. Call Susan Watrous at 734-971-4000 for more information, or visit FlyingDutchmanMGT.com. No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Trenton, New Jersey to Monterey, California, Toledo to Ishpeming, Wham Talk 1600 is there, online and streaming live. WhamRadio.com.
Hello, Wham listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on Wham! Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on Wham! Talk 1600.
If you are struggling to pay energy bills, always contact your utility provider first for shutoff prevention or payment plans. For other available energy, weatherization, and assistance programs, call 211 or the Michigan Public Service Commission at 800-292-9555. You can also visit their website at michigan.gov/MPSC for more information. This has been a public service message from the Michigan Public Service Commission.
Finally, front page above the fold, The Washington Post. Celebrity support poses risk to Obama. Republican attacks pit economic woes against the Hollywood glitz. They're producing a disaster for America. It was so bad that it was popular. That's what they're hoping for with Obama. He's so bad that it becomes funny and popular.
Laura Ingraham, weekdays, noon to 3, on Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Okay, welcome back to the Drift. Thank you for coming in on Father's Day and listening to me and sharing your Sunday morning with me. We're going to lighten it up a little bit here and bring a little humorous hypocrisy, which we actually get quite regularly from Obama. You know, he's got a certainly got a job with Saturday Night Live when he gets done with his presidency, hopefully this the end of this year. Let's go with track five, Derek. This is Obama blaming the Republicans for the bill.
This notion that somehow we cause the deficits is just wrong. It's like somebody goes to a restaurant, orders a big steak dinner, martini, all that stuff, and then, just as you're sitting down, they leave. And accuse you of running up the tab.
Yeah, well, let's get things straight. I think the bill, the national deficit, was between George Washington and George W. Bush, ran up to about $9 billion. Right now, we're sitting at $16.5 trillion, I think. So in his 3.5 years in office, Mr. Obama is now up to $7 trillion of that. 16, so don't talk about running up the tab and blame it on everyone else. Yes, George Bush certainly ran up the tab. We've had a couple wars in there. But don't forget, the last couple years of the Bush administration, the Democrats controlled the House and Senate. They controlled the budget. If they wanted to cut it, were serious about cutting, they could have done that. Blame them, as well as George Bush and all the other presidents going back to George Washington. But it's hypocritical because there was also a story this week, and you can find this at the Daily Drift.
Well, was this the change we were supposed to believe in?
The hopeless change?
The change of $16 trillion?
And that's right. Well, the funny hypocritical part of this is, on Tuesday, Barack Obama accused the Republicans of stiffing him with the bill. Then on Wednesday, Obama treated two military members and two barbers to a Father's Day lunch. And then he stiffed the restaurant. He didn't pay the tab. His staffers didn't pay the bill. Amid the bustle of President Obama's surprise stop for barbecue on Wednesday, he did apparently forget one key detail, the bill. He had lunch with these four gentlemen. They chatted about fatherhood and enjoyed a steaming plate of pork ribs with hot sauce, collard greens, red beans, and rice. The bill was $55.58. And they didn't pay it. Now, I'm sure the owner is like, wow, I had the president here. I'm not going to even worry about charging him. But still, you know, pay the bill.
It's a bit presumptuous to assume that your presence is going to lead to, you know, greatness for your restaurant.
Bow to the king. Pay me for free. Yes.
Pay your bill.
How dare you ask me to pay a bill? I don't pay the bills of the national government. You expect me to pay a food bill? How dare you? The king eats for free. As well as his guests at the table.
Well, apparently, even if he did pay the bill, he'd probably borrow 58 bucks from the Chinese to do it. So,
or at least 54 cents out of every dollar of that 55 he would be borrowing from the Chinese.
It'd only be $30 we'd be borrowing. Yeah. The rest he'd be taking from my wallet.
Well, let's go with some more of this nonsense from, we've got a call. Let's take this call. Karen from Ann Arbor. Karen, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to make a comment about the little blurb that you played just before the break in Obama's own words, where he was talking about he couldn't make an executive order about immigration, and then that's exactly what he's done. And I think that should be played over and over again. I wish the Romney campaign would use that in an ad.
That would make a wonderful ad, wouldn't it, Karen?
Yes, it would, and I wish there was a way to kind of push that along a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm gonna take you up on that. I'm gonna make an ad, and I'll play it on the station, and I'll pay for it, Derek. What do you think about that? I'm sure Linda will let
wonderful.
Me do that. Yes, I'm gonna take you up on that, Karen, and I'm gonna spend a little of my own money and play it on this station and get that done. Thank you for the call, Karen, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, so there you go. People are listening. People are paying attention. I want to talk a little bit about more of this green jobs nonsense. Here's a track from Daryl Issa, the Oversight Committee, talking about green jobs that Obama keeps saying are so great and working so well.
We on the Oversight Committee exist to secure two fundamental principles. First, Americans have a right to know the money Washington takes from them is well spent. And second, Americans deserve an efficient, effective government that works for them. Our duty on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee is to protect these rights. Our solemn responsibility is to hold government accountable to taxpayers, because taxpayers have a right to know what they get from their government. We will work tirelessly in partnership with citizen watchdogs to deliver the facts to the American people and bring genuine reform to the federal bureaucracy. When President Obama took office, he promised the American people to have a more transparent administration, the most transparent administration in history. From that point on, this was a standard that the Obama administration would be held to.
Okay. You really need to watch these videos. And, you know, it's a shame the media doesn't take these snippets and put them on television because they are so outrageous. This man would have an approval rating of about 0% if this information was out there. And, you know, it's out there, but the media is not picking it up. And what he's talking about is, well, let's go with the next track, Derek. I think we're on track six. This will tell you what happened.
However, the standard they have invented includes counting as a green job, in addition to the welder, college professors are now green. Environmental reporters are now green. Policy experts at any think tank can be green. In fact, lobbyists can be green. Now, I've been in Washington for nearly 12 years. There's a lot of green with lobbyists. None of it should be counted as an environmentally green job. There are 33 times as many so-called green jobs in the septic tank, and you can't make these things up, guys, septic tank and portable toilet servicing industry as there are in solar energy and utility areas.
Okay, so you see what he's done. They're saying, look at our green jobs record. They haven't created green jobs. There's no Solyndra's doing well. They're not hiring people to make solar panels and windmills. What they're doing, this lady, Sillis, whatever her name is, the Secretary of Labor, has changed the reporting, just like they've done with the unemployment numbers. Instead of having facts and showing you a change, they're just manipulating the numbers to show that, hey, look at how well we're doing. Really?
You know, that's the problem. I mean, it doesn't matter what the topic is anymore. When I hear statistics being thrown at me, I just close my ears because it's so easy to slew statistics to whatever your agenda might be. And in this case, okay, they're just defining green jobs randomly to be just about anything. And that's why, you know, that's the value in listening to your show, Gary. I mean, you're the one who throws the statistics to the side and interprets it factually.
Yeah, I use common sense.
Yeah.
Now let's go with this final track I have here, Derek, because this gives you a little more leeway into what Obama calls green jobs.
If you sweep the floor in a solar panel facility, is that a green job?
Yes.
If you drive a hybrid bus, public transportation, is that a green job?
According to our definition, yes.
What about just any school bus driver?
Yes.
What about the guy who puts gas in the school bus?
Yes.
How about employees at a bicycle shop?
I guess I'm not sure about that.
The answer is yes, according to your definition. What about someone who works at an antique dealer?
I'm not sure about that either.
The answer is yes. Those are recycled goods. What about someone who works at the Salvation Army in their clothing recycling and furniture?
Right, because they're selling recycled goods.
What about workers at a consignment shop?
That's a green job.
Does the teenage kid who works full-time at a used record shop count?
Yes.
Do garbage men have green jobs?
Yes.
How about an oil lobbyist? Wouldn't an oil lobbyist count as having a green job if they're engaged in advocacy related to environmental issues?
Yes.
Okay.
You gotta be kidding.
No. That's the Obama administration. I'm not going to change things. I'm going to change the way I report things. This is the most disgusting nonsense ever to come out of an American administration. You know how you can tell when Obama's lying?
When he's talking.
Exactly. When he opens his mouth, he's lying. This is what they do. They just change the reporting methods.
You know, the shame is if there were a true movement to green jobs that was truly creating a new sector in America. It's all been discredited now by this nonsense. There's no way to track whether there really is growth because of what they're doing here.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. And it's the same thing they've done with the unemployment. Well, thank you all for coming in and catching my drift this Sunday, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Dad. And we'll see you next week. Until then, do your homework. Go to the Daily Drift. Stay current. And get that information to make the decisions you need to this year. We'll see you next week.